We enter into the Passion Tide, these last 2 weeks of Lent. And traditionally in the church, beginning with the Passion Tide, the cross and the statues of the church are covered. They're veiled. I don't like it. In fact, I hate it. Which sounds completely absurd, right? So why I hate it, because the cross that's at the center of the church here is beautiful. If someone comes into the church, especially if they come in for the first time, I want them to see the full beauty of it with the cross there, right at the center as it should be. But why would I hate that being covered? Think of how absurd that is. A man being stretched out upon a cross and dying there with marks and spears in his side, having been beaten. That's beautiful. And I would rather it's uncovered. It's absurd. What would make more sense is it's so awful that I would prefer it to be covered all the time because it's such a hideous sight. Think about how hideous of a sight that would be in one sense. And so it's absurd. But yet I hate it. And the church asks us to do it for a great reason and her great wisdom. Because in these last 2 weeks, Passion Tide, which just means the Passion Time, in which our focus becomes like a laser upon the person of Jesus. And in these last 2 weeks, this last week of Lent and in Holy Week, these images and the cross is veiled so that we might learn to see anew again who Jesus is. That the cross is veiled because in the Passion Week, Jesus' glory, the fullness of God, who he is veiled from our eyes. We're not able to see it as clearly. Also, the fullness of his humanity as he enters into his passion, that becomes veiled from our eyes as well. Psalm 21, the servant song, which spoke of the coming Messiah, said how he was disfigured beyond recognition, that he was the repulsion of men, that he is a worm and no man. His very humanity, it was beaten to the point where he was hardly recognizable as a human being, but yet the fullness of humanity was in him. And these things are veiled from us during this time so that when they're unveiled at the Easter Vigil, we might see again anew who is this man, who he is, and to be able to see and to believe he is the resurrection and the life. That he is the one in himself who defeated the ancient curse of death and the cause of death, sin. He defeats all of that because he takes it upon himself and destroys it. And so he asks us, do you believe this? Do you believe this? They're covered so that we might learn to see anew and to believe even more deeply that he is the resurrection and the life. He is God and he is man. In this last Sunday of Lent, before we enter into Holy Week with Palm Sunday next week, we are given this great gospel of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. He's raising Lazarus from the dead, and he is forging a deep faith in Martha and Mary. That in this gospel, we see both the power of Jesus in his glory as God, but also the real humanity of Jesus in the face of death as well. That it's the paradox of that, right? You know what a paradox? These two things that seem to contradict one another, right? That the cross, which is this horrific, awful scene, would be beautiful. That's a paradox. That Jesus is both fully God and fully man, the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's a paradox. How can you be both the Creator and creation? But yet he is. And so we see his response to Lazarus dying. He says, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I am going to awaken him." Jesus has, because he is God, total power over death. He has complete dominion and sovereignty in the whole universe, and that includes over death. It has no power over him. But at the same time, in the face of death and the horror and evil it is, Jesus weeps. The fullness of his humanity. That he has a heart that is human. It is not cold and indifferent. But that it's sin that causes death, and Jesus hates death. And he weeps in the face of the suffering and the pain of it. The only problem is he has horrible timing. He hears that Lazarus is sick, and because he loved him so much, he waited two more days. And then he goes to Bethany, where he had been dead already 4 days. And the very first thing that both Martha and Mary ask Jesus, or they say to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." This is the great pain that echoes in the face of death all through the centuries and into your heart even now, and it will be in the future. "Lord, if you had been here, where were you, God? If you had been here, this would not have happened. You could have saved him." There are two places that as a priest, that I've experienced the presence of Jesus most powerfully. Jesus, of course, is present everywhere. And he's present in a particular way in the sacraments. But there's two particular places where the presence of Jesus has been most clearly and tangibly present. And one of those has been in the face of death. Coming upon a car accident where somebody has just died. Walking into an apartment where someone has just killed themselves. Going into a hospital room after someone's daughter had been battling cancer for years and they'd finally passed into the peace of eternal life. The presence of Jesus there is so tangibly present and alive. Someone who faces death, it doesn't matter how strong your faith is, you ask the question, "Jesus, where were you? If you had been here," ask that question. But don't just stop there. Keep asking him, "Jesus, where were you? Jesus, where were you in the midst of this?" Don't just throw that question out and then allow yourself just to be, "Jesus, I'm done with you. That's it." No, bring it to him. "Jesus, where were you?" One of the great graces I've ever experienced was on a retreat. And when you go on a retreat, especially one that's for a number of days, Jesus goes into deeper places within your life. And one of the things, told you before, I had a younger brother who died when I was 10. He was almost 5 in an accident. And that question that had been buried for years comes up again. Jesus, where were you in the midst of that? Why weren't you there? And the beautiful thing, in the midst of silence and in prayer, is Jesus revealing, as he does to every soul that continues to come to him with that question, that where he was right there. He was there crying as well. That as you were weeping tears and wailing, so was he. So much does he hate death. That he was there in every way. And Jesus' timing is never delayed, because what he is doing within us is he is bringing our hearts and our souls to a place where we're able to believe and to see his glory. To truly believe and to truly see his glory. Because there's another paradox within each one of us. Everyone, your faith that has been given to you as a gift from God, and it's a gift that God gives us, that he has given to your parents, your grandparents, whoever it is that passed that gift of faith on to you, which, parents, that's the most important thing you will ever give your children, is the gift of faith and nurturing that and helping that grow. That gift of faith that's been given to you is stronger than you think it is. It's stronger than you think it is. And at the same time, you are not as strong as you think you are. You don't have the ability to get through this life without it crushing you. Unless it's Jesus who is your strength. That it's him and Jesus alone who is your rock. That he entirely is your hope. That your heart comes to that depth of knowing who he is and believing in him and his power over death and all sin. Jesus comes to the tomb. He has them roll away the stone and he cries out, Lazarus, come out! Lazarus' tomb is not one that's lost to history, everyone. It still exists. Lazarus' tomb exists in every Catholic church throughout this world. It's the confessional, which is the second place as a priest in which the tangible presence of Jesus is most clearly there. A person enters into the tomb of the confessional dead because of sin. They enter in tied up because of their human weakness. And it's in the confessional, in the words of absolution, when Jesus speaks the words, untie him and let him go, that one leaves the tomb alive and free. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus speaks about who he is. Lazarus was dead, and he was brought back to natural life. Lazarus, everyone, died again. Lazarus died again. Jesus, though, in raising him from the dead, shows, he unveils a little bit his power over death. And what he does in this one man, in bringing him back to natural life, he will, through his passion, his death, and his resurrection in Holy Week, he will do not just for this one man, but he will defeat death entirely, not just a battle over death. Jesus isn't interested in just winning some battles. He wins the war against death, so that not just this man, but every man and every woman might be brought back to life, not just physically, not just natural life, but with supernatural life, that we might be raised from the dead, body and soul, that we might see and believe Easter morning that he is Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life.